You're listening to Ask the CIO, brought to you by CenturyLink. Now, here is your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is Gino Magnifico, the Army Contracting Command's Chief Information Officer. Gino, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's always good to be on.
Well, it's been more than 2 years since last time we spoke, so it's great to catch up. You guys have moved since last time we spoke. Last time, I think it was at Fort Belvoir. Now you guys are Redstone Arsenal, right?
Absolutely. The command moved south, and we've set up our headquarters here. And in the technology business, change is always at hand, and certainly we've had our share.
So last time we spoke, you mentioned several priorities. I want to catch up on a couple of those, and then we're going to get to some new stuff. The first was you guys were doing several pilots at the time to centralize your server platforms. You said at the time, I remember, 19 locations were brought into the centralized service. You had hoped to bring in about 115 locations in all. Give us the status of that effort.
So we've actually been hard at work over these last few years getting our platform structured, getting our service models aligned, and bringing in our additional locations. And I'm glad to say, 2 years later, we're about 98% complete. We've got about 115 locations onto our platforms now, servicing every day. We've reorganized, restructured our platforms to adjust the service models to the appropriate levels to provide that constant engagement of that application in the field. We centrally host one of our primary contract writing tools applications through that platform. And so being a contracting command, you know, that's a critical application. And so that now has shifted over to more of a software as a service. And in addition to that, infrastructure as a service, because we partner with an internal government entity, Altez, out of Radford, Virginia, to provide us that service.
You've put most of this in the cloud or just those applications in the cloud?
Most of it's in the cloud. So we provide that day in and day out. And so we're constantly looking at providing additional business applications through that very same model. Because one of the benefits of driving even one application to that model is you not only adjust the application itself to be provided as a service, but you also start making that cultural change in the environment, moving servers away from locally operated environments. Of course, that requires some change in roles across the enterprise. It centralizes those capabilities, and you have to adjust your whole service model to meet that application. So as we adjust to the cloud, one of our key challenges is how do we establish a service model day in, day out that pumps that service out to the user all the way to the desktop to the 99.999% level. And that's a large challenge for any organization. But an enterprise such as us, which is a global in mission, is truly challenged. And that's part of our mission area. We accept that, and I think we've done a reasonably good job.
Now, you're talking about the applications that are in the cloud, but also these servers now in the cloud. So when you guys were consolidating the server platforms, at the time in 2010, the cloud was really just kind of beginning to take hold. Did you have to shift your plans, or did you have to kind of change technologies over the last 2 years because of the predominance of cloud?
Absolutely. When we started the process several years ago, we had a certain level of knowledge on that, really relying on our business partners to kind of establish that platform, engage us, work with us, bring us to a level of understanding on how the interaction works at all the various phases engaged with the cloud. And there's a lot of roles in those responsibilities. And so we've learned a lot over these last 2 years. We've structured business agreements differently than we had when we first started, only because we understood the adjustments as the service started to take hold, as we've gone from 19 operating locations several years ago to now 115. That brings on a whole different series of challenges, focus areas, issues. One of our big issues within the contracting community as a whole is the fourth quarter of our fiscal year is really a high-intensity period of time. And so that's where we'll see a huge amount of our concurrent users take shape and take form and access our platforms. Well, our platform has to adjust to that, both from a technological as well as a service level. That's a major engagement for us every year. And so as we've gone through these several years, we fine-tune that process, introduce some different capabilities, introduce different levels of hardware. We virtualize that server platform almost entirely today. So that gives us a lot of flexibility in how we provide that service, how we adjust the service model to meet the challenge of our fourth quarter. And so there's been a whole series of engagements and really kind of, you know, as an organization, we've learned quite a bit on how to interact and work with a cloud-based process. And so now we're starting to apply that in different areas of our business process.
I know we're going to get to that fourth quarter changes a little bit later on in the show, but let me, before we do there, let me back you up a second and take you back to the last conversation we had. When you mentioned governance, improving the decision-making ability of the Army Contracting Command around its IT assets, how has that improved?
We've put a lot of effort into our planning cell and planning model to establish a governance process, and I'm glad to say we initiated that last October formally. We started, you know, from the inception of the command, we started putting little pieces in place to set up an overarching governance model. And we've been moving along that line for several years. And so last October, we formally introduced our governance platform into the command. We've laid out all the various structures, established our working boards, established our executive boards. We've had numerous sessions with that. Our executive board is chaired by our commander, who is now General Camille Nichols. And all the participants are our major directors and commanders from across our enterprise and our command. And so they all sit at the table, and we're in the process now of really maturing that process, engaging that process with our business infrastructure, and starting to make ourselves more efficient as a community.
And when you talk about this governance platform, this board, you're really talking about an investment review board, correct?
Absolutely. That's certainly part of the effort. Our portfolio management concepts are starting to take shape. And one of the things we're really trying to do is, given a downsizing budget environment, our resources become precious. Not that they're not always precious, but really trying to get ourselves focused on where do we need to make our investments, what are the key strategies, what are the key business areas we need to resolve, and then what are those technologies that best suit those solutions, and try to skinny that down into very efficient investment decisions so that the command as a whole benefits across the platform. And so the engagements that we make, the investments that we make, we can fund through its life cycle. A lot of times organizations have difficulty when they have numerous capabilities in the field. They're investing in all of those, and it kind of waters down the investment. One of the things we're hoping to do through our engagement is to start drawing that back in, making standard business decisions at a strategic level so that we can move our community onto these capabilities and then really leverage the benefits of having those kinds of capabilities in our environment to feed our business infrastructure day in and day out as it pumps its business cycles, but also to overlay a business intelligence capability and really kind of make this a knowledge-based command. And that's critical for us in a business sense because we do a lot of business with external customers, and we constantly have to feed our data, our information to them so they understand where they are in the acquisition cycle. And that's a critical piece for them as it's critical to us.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about one other pilot program that you guys were testing a couple years ago, see how that's going. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Gino Magnifico, the Army Contracting Command's Chief Information Officer.
This audio puzzle is brought to you by CenturyLink Government.
Let's see, growing digital needs go here. So many different applications over here. So where does IT budget stretch to the limit go?
Fortunately, CenturyLink Government has an answer with its vast portfolio of cloud services so customers get the right mix of performance and features. CenturyLink, solutions that work, service you can count on.
For a free risk assessment, visit CenturyLink.com/federal. This audio puzzle is brought to you by CenturyLink Government.
Okay, synchronize email and instant messaging over here. Merge web and video conferencing down here. But that leaves mobile, landline, and VoIP phones out of the loop.
Solve your agency's communications challenges with CenturyLink Government Unified Communications, products that work together and help deploying and maintaining them. CenturyLink, solutions that work, service you can count on.
For a free risk assessment, visit CenturyLink.com/federal.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Gino Magnifico, the Army Contracting Command's Chief Information Officer. Now, Gino, before break, we were talking about a couple priorities from the last time we spoke in March 2010. One of those at the time was something you were testing around what you called a lightweight approach to contracting. In fact, it was right during the time of the Haiti earthquake, shortly after, when you guys were providing some relief help, the U.S. was and the Army specifically. How has that effort around lightweight contracting really evolved over the last few years?
Well, I'm proud to say that we've put a lot of effort and engaged those lightweight platforms into our field operations. One of our subordinate commands for ACC is Expeditionary Contracting Command, and that's commanded by General Ted Harrison and his team. And we work very closely with that team to really introduce efficient levels of technology that allow them to do their business, you know, in worldwide environments every day. And for everything from austere to sustainment areas to humanitarian outreach programs to disaster recovery, certainly to theater support, things of that nature. And so we're constantly engaged with that team. Colonel Madry is our lead element for that, for ECC, Expeditionary Contracting Command. And he and his team work with our team very closely to make sure that, you know, we're leveraging our satellite communications capability. We're constantly testing that environment. We're interacting closely with our field operations groups and our offices to make sure that not only are we providing this technology, but that they're reasonably familiar with the capabilities, can execute these capabilities in these austere conditions, and establish those uplinks that they need to do to execute their mission area. One of our key focus areas, of course, is when we get into these austere environments and we set up our satellite communications, to be able to reach back to our central contract writing applications and do our business there. And so that's a key piece into the process. Over these last 2 years, we've engaged in a lot of different exercises, field support, theater operations to test these capabilities, to constantly make them more efficient, to look for technologies that allow us to generate that capability day in and day out. And our teams have done a really good job. As a matter of fact, if you visit our campus here at any point in time during the week, you'll see some of those satellite dishes set up all over the place, whether it's in the parking lot or in the back area, just testing those capabilities here. And then we take those capabilities and field them, and we'll deploy forward with those and test them in their environments with our subordinate units. So it's a constant engagement, and certainly a part of what we do and how we do it.
One of the things about the server consolidation effort, one of the things about moving to the cloud, it should help these lightweight applications. Have you guys made that connection where, because you're now in the cloud, because you now have virtualized all these servers, it's easier for people in those, you know, theater and those austere environments to connect back to the contract writing system or to other important applications?
It certainly gives a lot of flexibility to our support elements. Normally, when our elements will deploy forward, if they're part of a larger group, then certainly they'll get sustainment operations and network access through those deployments.
All right. Well, that sounds like you got a lot done over the last few years. Let's start looking forward a little bit. What are you trying to get done over the next 6 to 9 months? And obviously, we want to definitely talk about that new contract writing system that I remember we mentioned a while ago.
We've been working very closely with the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Procurement's office to really establish a different strategy and a different way forward with our contract writing tools. As you might imagine, as our technology platforms start to mature, as we really delve into these technologies that provide more efficient capabilities, our applications certainly have to keep pace with that. A lot of our contract writing applications today are supporting architectures that are somewhere between 8 to 10 years old. That's a lifetime in the technology business. And so one of the things that we're looking at as a structure, and not just across the Army, but all of DOD, is how do we upgrade our capabilities in our contract writing areas and get applications that are really more modernized, that reflect architectures that really work really well in these different environments, everything from sustainment to these thin solutions and these COMSAT requirements that we really try to leverage, definitely in this command. And so the architectures have to kind of all be aligned to be able to provide those services in the best way possible. And so we've initiated an analysis of alternatives within the Army to really look at our future roadmaps and what our contract writing tools have to do, what different mission areas, including our expeditionary mission areas, that they have to work with every day, and how best to structure these applications to work with these newer technologies and leverage those to the best possible solution for our users. And so we've been working that over the last 6 to 8 months, as I said, with our Deputy Assistant Secretaries, Procurement, DASAP, with their team, and other elements, other commands across the Army to really kind of look out at not only within the Army and within DOD, but look across industry as well and see what applications exist, what capabilities exist, and how best to leverage that in our acquisition planning processes. And so our teams have been doing that. We've just about finished that process up. We'll transition out of the analysis of alternatives to a more of an acquisition-based process. And so the good news for Army contract writers is that the Army is looking at newer applications, newer capabilities to leverage a lot of these capabilities and technologies we've already put in place. So that's a real positive development for our community. And honestly, at the end of the day, it's a great benefit to our customers as well, because the more efficient we are, the better services they get, the better commodities, and the more quickly we can respond to their mission areas. It's a win-win for everybody.
And when you say you're going to transition to an acquisition strategy, is that the idea of developing an acquisition strategy, or actually are you ready for the RFP stage at this point?
I think we're moving along the acquisition planning process now. So I don't think we're quite there at the RFP level, but this is a contracting community, so it probably won't take us very long.
And do you foresee an RFP is going to be the end result of this? Or is, because when you do the analysis of alternatives, you may say, hey, the Navy has a contracting writing tool that we could just borrow or steal from, and we won't have to go through maybe a long and drawn-out acquisition process.
Absolutely. And those decisions are really made more along the lines at the executive levels. So I don't want to speak for our executives, but all those factors are certainly being considered. And not to mention, we're in a downsizing budget environment, so we have to be very efficient in our solution sets that we're looking for. So all of those factors play in. That was part of our AOA, is to look across DOD as well as Army and industry to see what are the best solutions possible to provide our solution that we're looking for across the entire Army.
All right, and some of your other priorities aside from the contract writing system?
We certainly put a lot of emphasis in our information assurance and privacy programs, and we've put a lot of assets there to work to make sure that as we look at our technologies, as we bring along these applications, as we provide these services to our users, that we're doing it in a secure manner. And information assurance is a critical mission, certainly to the whole department, and certainly to us as an operational entity. And so we've always got one eye on that future technology, but any technology or any application or any business solution has to certainly be secure. And so our information assurance team really works that for us. Another area of focus for us is business intelligence and knowledge. We're putting some emphasis there to make sure that as we start to generate a lot of this procurement-type data, that we leverage that data in terms of strategic decision-making through our business intelligence and knowledge initiatives. So those are just a couple of things that we really look to enhance ourselves with over the next 6 to 9 months, and really 12 to 18. I mean, those are investments that we're making to really help this command as a business entity move forward along various different fronts: applications, technology, business intelligence, and knowledge.
Very nice. Now we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about some of those priorities. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Gino Magnifico, the Army Contracting Command's CIO.
This audio puzzle is brought to you by CenturyLink Government.
Let's see, growing digital needs go here. So many different applications over here. So where does IT budget stretch to the limit go?
Fortunately, CenturyLink Government has an answer with its vast portfolio of cloud services, so customers get the right mix of performance and features. CenturyLink, solutions that work, service you can count on.
For a free risk assessment, Visit CenturyLink.com/federal. This audio puzzle is brought to you by CenturyLink Government.
Okay, synchronize email and instant messaging over here. Merge web and video conferencing down here. But that leaves mobile, landline, and VoIP phones out of the loop.
Solve your agency's communications challenges with CenturyLink Government Unified Communications. Products that work together and help deploying and maintaining them. CenturyLink. Solutions that work. Service you can count on.
For a free risk assessment, visit CenturyLink.com/federal.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Gino Magnifico, the Army Contracting Command's Chief Information Officer. Gino, before break, we were talking about your priorities that you want to get done over the next 6 or 9 months. One of them you mentioned was the idea of business intelligence, knowledge management. This is something that I hear all the time from CIOs. It's all about the data now. Of course, it's been all about the data for the last 5 or 6 years, but I think people with the cloud and people are starting to understand what can be done with all this massive amounts of data and then how you can use that data better. So give me a sense of where you're at with this program and what's your end goal? What are you hoping to get done?
As we generate a lot of that procurement contract type data, one of the things we're really looking to get done with that data is leveraging it to make better sound strategic decisions and really looking across our entire command and making those kind of strategic value judgments as to where we procure things, where our centers of excellence are, distribution of workload, all of those areas. But one of the key areas that we really focus in on around business intelligence is an engagement with our customer base. We have a lot of requiring activities that would really appreciate having direct knowledge and insight on a lot of these contracts that we generate for them as an organization. And so giving them that kind of transparency to the process really helps them evaluate where they are at any point in time in the acquisition process, down to the specific RFQ or RFP or contract. It's a real benefit tool to them to be able, and a real benefit to them as an organization, to be able to execute that and understand that data in their own way. And one of the things we're working with these organizations today on is how do we automate that process? We generate a lot of data. They evaluate a lot of data. How do we streamline that process jointly in a teaming approach to give them the best insight possible. One of the things that General Nichols has initiated with our command is dashboards and working with customer-based dashboards to really provide them that strategic insight as to how they're executing their mission area, which provides a lot of benefits in a lot of different ways. Certainly, it gives the executives knowledge on where they are in the acquisition process. Certainly, it provides their teams that same level of knowledge. But on our side, it makes us a little more efficient because we're not constantly, dealing with phone calls, inquiries, things of that nature. And so as you make the process a little bit more transparent, you are able to derive these second-level benefits that impact your productivity, that impact your efficiencies. And so saving that time and effort provides us that time and effort to do the mission area associated with what we do day in and day out, and that is generate contracts, generate business solutions, become efficient in that area, and leverage the taxpayers' money to the greatest degree possible.
And you're talking about here helping the commands know that they're buying X amount of widgets for X amount of dollars today, so not a monthly report, not a weekly report, but real time.
Absolutely. I'm sure all of my fellow CIOs would say the same thing. Real-time data is certainly the mission area. There's steps to get to that environment. There's a lot of different areas that have to be impacted to get to that kind of an architecture within a command, within an enterprise. And so we're taking those steps, steady but sure steps, to get us to that environment. One of the recent steps we've made is we've brought several other business applications under the purview of the ACC G6 that really is going to give us some capability associated with the mission of business intelligence and knowledge management across our entire command. And so as we absorb those applications with the applications that we have presently under our purview, it really brings together that entire capability we need to leverage some of these solutions we had just talked about, not just internal to the command, and that's a critical piece for us. It's not just leveraging these capabilities for our own benefit, but also that of our business partners, our customers, to be able to leverage that same type of data for the areas that they need that data to support. So it's critical, I think, for the entire business process that transparency is the word of the day.
And I think transparency is key when we enter this fourth quarter buying season, which obviously the government's in the middle of now. Give me a sense of how you guys have been planning and how you are using technology to improve this fourth quarter and when so many people are trying to spend that money before the end of the year.
Transparency is a piece of that. Working very closely with our customers, establishing working level teams jointly, not just between procurement and our customer base, generally our logistical base, but also working very closely with our financial managers as they brought on applications to make their business process more efficient. Communication, transparency has to be part of that effort as well. So we tried to establish these working level groups, sometimes at the command level, sometimes at the subordinate unit levels, to engage with all of our partners to really present a united capability for fourth quarter. And that's critical because, of course, it's a very compressed time frame. And statutorily, everything has to be committed by the end of the fiscal year, 30 September. And so the time frames are just not there to have extended engagements. And so bringing everybody together, partnering those processes, establishing those process teams really allow us to become much more efficient as a business enterprise and as a command in working with our partners on the logistical side and the financial management side. So that's one key tool that we've used all jointly through the communities to really engage ourselves and work those day-to-day issues that kind of fall out of the process, get those identified, get those re-looked at, reworked, refocused, and back into the process because there's not a whole lot of time to be able to absorb and not engage those processes.
How different is this fourth quarter from, let's say, previous fourth quarters of the fiscal years?
I think the differences in this year are some of the newer partner engagements that we have with some newer applications. You know, the financial management side of the Army has initiated the GFIBS capability. We're working with them very closely, day in and day out, to make sure that that's as efficient as possible. And so if you look at it from an end-to-end process, every fiscal year presents its different challenges. Because generally speaking, we have a very dynamic business infrastructure across DOD and the Army. And as such, our partners may bring on different capabilities. We may bring on different capabilities. But when it gets to year end, everybody has to partner together to be able to work whatever new application or new process or new statutory requirement has been brought onto the platform. And so that's generally where it's a little different every year, because depending on where that statutory change was initiated from, where that platform change was initiated from, or where the applications were changed, that's really where the variance in the fiscal year-end process comes in from our side of the table.
You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today was Gino Magnifico, the Army Contracting Command's Chief Information Officer. Gino, thank you so much for taking the time to join us again on the show.
It was my pleasure. Always good talking to you, Jason.
Thank you for listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The show has been sponsored by CenturyLink. If you missed any portion of this broadcast, you can hear the show in its entirety on demand or podcast on federalnewsradio.com.